Conference Committee on House File 2949. We do have a quorum, thank you. We do have a quorum present on both sides, House and Senate, and we have a number of the items that were not adopted yesterday that reached some agreement on, and we'll adopt those. There are still a few open items, and we will continue to work on those, and hopefully in not too long a time period, we will be back together and can hopefully wrap this up. The first open one, and I've got others monitoring just in case I don't have them all in the right order, is in Section 1, in Article 1, Section 34. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I've got the wrong side of the page. Page 12, Article 1, Section 17. And that's page 12. That is.
That's a hold.
Oh, I'm sorry. We've got to hold that one? Why did I mark it then? Article 1, Section 27. This is the pay differential of reserve on active duty, and I believe the language has been confirmed, and we will include that in this bill. Even though it's traveling separately, we will include that.
They're nodding their heads.
So is there... Either the commissioner or Kevin McHenry, if either one of you want to confirm that.
Well, good morning, Senator Olson, Brenda Casales, Commissioner of Education. Thank you again for all of your hard work yesterday. And, yes, we will confirm that.
Madam Chair, I'd move that.
Pardon me?
Madam Chair, I'll move Section 27.
I didn't see who was talking.
Oh,
Representative Erickson moves Article 1, Section 27. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. That section is adopted.
Dan has your bill.
Then Article 1, I missed what this
section
one.
32
here. What's 32? Are you going to do that by amendment?
Yes, please. Madam Chair, I'll move the A-10 amendment. And Madam Chair and members, pursuant to our agreement with the commissioner, this is what we discussed yesterday, is that the $4 million, under current law, the current appropriation is $4 million in fiscal year 13, then drops down to $2 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. So half the scholarship recipients would lose their scholarship after the first year. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So we're just keeping the same amount of money, but we're having it be $2 million in fiscal year 13 and then increasing the appropriation in fiscal years 14 and 15 to $3 million. So that's it. And then Commissioner.
Senator Olson and Representative Garofalo.
Commissioner Casilius.
Can we see the amendment?
Is it being handed out?
Yep, it is. And the changes are on one, Madam Chair, members of the committee, 1.9 is the change from 4 to 2, and then line 1.31 changes the fiscal years 14 and 15.
We still need them. I think they're missing. Yeah. When they're done, I'll tell them.
Representative Garofalo, thank you for the change, and we're okay with it.
Does this delete this?
We haven't adopted those sections, so we don't need to do it.
You still need them. You still need that section, so not those two subdivisions.
Okay, so just so I understand what I'm hearing from staff here is that within Section 32, we need to adopt subdivisions 1. Why don't I make that? I'm going to withdraw my motion on the A-10 amendment, and I will move adoption of Section 32, subdivisions 1 and 2. Within Section 32, is that correct, Steph?
Yes.
And if we could hear from the department just to make sure they're okay with, again, Sections 32 appropriations, subdivisions 1 and 2.
Yes.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, I'd move that.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo moves the adoption of Section 32, Subdivision 1 and Subdivision 2. Any questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, I would now move the A10 amendment. We just discussed earlier that the...
So Representative Garofalo moves the A10 amendment, and I think you've had a chance to review that. Any further discussion? Not. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted, or the article is adopted. No, wait a minute. It's the amendment.
It's the amendment.
To the article.
So,
Madam Chair?
Hang on just a minute, Representative or Senator Bonhoff. We will, Section 34, as we're progressing through here, the repealers, I think we're ready to adopt those.
Okay.
So I would move the, let's have Senator Chamberlain, since the repealers were a part of his efforts, move Section 34.
So moved.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The Section 34 is adopted. Is Kevin McHenry, I forgot to ask if your comment. Do you want to have anything to add to this? Okay, very fine. Thank you. So then Article 2, Section 8.
And Madam Chair, I can...
We have a couple of amendments
yep.
here.
Page 29.32, change the must to a may. And then on page 32 on line, where was it?
29.
Line 29 would also be changed from a must to a may, and I believe I'm looking at staff. Is there any other changes to that besides those two?
Mr. Chair, my recollection is that those are the only changes. Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Garofalo moves to amend the Section 8 on 29.32, the must to a may. And on 32, line 29, the must to the MA. Commissioner Caselius?
Senator
you want
Olson.
Comment?
Yes, Senator Olson, Representative Garofalo. When we agreed to this provision, we also had not agreed to Section 7 on page 29.
You had not agreed
section,
to what?
Section 7, prohibitions on political activities by
yeah,
public
we're,
school.
We're not moving
not
to put that
oh.
in.
Yep.
We're just moving
so
Section
okay.
8.
It just...
Okay, thank you.
But we're on Section 8. You agreed by changing the must to may. This, I think, is consistent with the intention, and it does no damage to this proposal. So there... Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair, members, I think the one thing we're just trying to clarify is in how we're operating on this. Is this moving into a different report? Because I think the just from notes, we didn't know if there'd be a motion to delete that Section 7 then.
No. Mr. Chairman, we are moving sections into the conference
to.
Report.
Yeah. Okay.
And so and that has to have three votes, you know, majority of each side. For anything, and anything that doesn't get moved in is left in the scrap heap.
Madam Chair.
Or recycling bin.
Appreciate the Madam Chair, I appreciate the clarification.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So the Section 8 is what we had agreed to, with the changes in language. Okay, we moved the amendment, or you moved that as amended?
Madam Chair, I moved Article 2, Section 8 as amended.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. This Article 8 of section, of Article 2, Section 8 has been adopted. So we are... passing on a couple others that are open that we haven't yet. Article 2, Section 12. That is on page 41. We have a couple of changes. I believe in the agreement is to accept the change on 41.30. Moving from 3 to 5 years, but on the next page, 42, we are deleting process section, dispute resolution process, from lines 42.4 to 42.18. So, Senator Hand, would you care to move the
so moved, Madam Chair.
Move Section 12 with the exception or the deletion of Article or lines 42.4 to 42.18.
So moved, Madam Chair.
And that's in agreement.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. That section is, as amended, is adopted. Then,
It treats school districts. It's parallel. School districts.
And Section 13, I think there was an agreement that there to not adopt, not go forward, that you believe that that is being addressed. And unless something more is brought in to clarify, we will not act on that at this time. Now, on page 44, the Affiliated Nonprofit Building Corporation. And there's been agreement to include. Commissioner, is that consistent with your understanding?
That is correct, Senator Olson.
Okay. Senator Hand, would you like to move that as well?
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of Section 16.
So Section 16, Article 2. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. This section is adopted. Then.
Page 48.
Section 20.
This, page 40. Skip that because there's a journey down there. So we want to do that. Actually, it begins on page 46, section 20, with the exception of lines 48.17 48.22. I'll move that that change. These have to do with lease levy arrangements.
Madam Chair, could you repeat that, please?
It's section 20 that begins on page 46 and ends on 48, with the exception of lines 48.17 to 48.22.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll move that adoption. It's paragraph K is the change to section 20. We're excluding paragraph J, and I'll move that change.
And that, Commissioner, is?
That's correct, ma'am.
All in favor signify. Representative Graffalo moves the inclusion of Section 20 with the exception of lines 48.17 to 48.22. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. The motion is adopted. And the that section is included as amended, or as presented. And I believe we have a couple of more amendments. And Senator Bonhoff, did you have an amendment?
Madam Chair, I would offer the A4 amendment. Well, it's being passed out. The A4 amendment puts back in the parent-child home program, but rather than taking it from the existing scholarships, it takes it instead from the general fund. So it's a grant, one-time grant of $250,000 in year 2013.
And that money was made available by Representative Garofalo?
Available.
Yep. Just made available.
Available.
Is there any further discussion? And I believe that that's agreeable with the commissioner.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor of the amendment, if you all have that, it is the A4 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Same sign. The motion is adopted. The amendment is adopted. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Sorry. And I believe we have another amendment that kind of reinstates a section that was not included in this draft relative to the career and tech levy, and we're making changes in the codified areas and determining what is available for those resources. And do we have that amendment?
Yep, we do.
Chair.
Yes.
Do you want me to offer that?
That'd be fine.
I'd offer the A9 amendment.
Oh, sorry.
2010 on 2.22. Thank you. We need there too.
Oh, this is the.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
As most of the
Senator Stump?
Madam Chair, as most of the conferees know, that last summer in the special session, the career and technical levy was handled in a way that added 1 year to the career and technical levy. And if we did nothing, we would have a reduction in that levy across the state. And so what this does is to try to fix that so that we do not have a cut in programs, program funding for the career and technical levy, but allows that levy to remain constant. And if there are any additional things that I missed, Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Nauman, would you like to?
Madam Chair, members, I'll just mention a few highlights on this. There's actually kind of two things going on here. Last year, through oversight in the process, when the final K-12 bill was being put together, we created some ambiguity in how the career and tech levy was structured. And in an attempt to address that, we're making essentially two changes. The first and foremost is to codify the letter that was drafted by the chairs. That's section 23 that establishes that the levy shall be done the way the letter instructioned. It says provided the department instruction. And Madam Chair, with your permission, can I suggest that we on line 2.22 after 2 insert Minnesota statutes 2010 comma.
After the T-O. Before section.
Yes, correct.
And insert?
Minnesota statutes 2010, comma. we want to make sure we're referencing the statutes there.
Thank you. Senator Stumpf incorporates that change in his amendment.
Madam Chair, I'd incorporate that.
Madam Chair, and then in Section 21 that's being added, the career and tech levy formula is being adjusted to eliminate the ADM factor. Under current law, the formula is the greater of $80 or 35% of approved expenditures. And the recommendation would be that for taxes payable in 2015 and later, that this be the formula. Prior to that, for taxes payable 12 through 14, it would be effective based on Section 23. Section 22 that's listed on lines 2.5 through 2.13 is a technical adjustment to the levy guarantee.
Are there any questions or discussion on this? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No property tax increase, Mr. Nauman?
Madam Chair, Senator Erickson, no.
Senator, thank you.
Oh, yeah. And Madam Chair and members, I forgot to mention that on line 1.35, there is a reduction to the overall cap. I believe to conform with the agreement, the intent is that number would be the appropriate number so that the bill does not raise property taxes. At this point, I think it's a little too low and we'll need to raise it by $100,000 or so. But I think with your permission and in your motion, it would be helpful if staff had the ability to incorporate the appropriate number there.
So I would incorporate that into the
motion.
Good. Right. Commissioner Caselius?
Senator Olson, Senator Stumpf, and members, we just would really like to, at the department, thank you for addressing this policy fix in law. It just makes it much more clearer for districts and much more sustainable for CTE coursework. So thank you.
Good, thank you. So Senator Stumpf renews his motion to adopt the A9 amendment. Any further discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And I believe, unless I missed something, that this is what we had ready for inclusion and adoption. And we do have a few outstanding issues that we are going to continue to work on, and they're not too many. So hopefully we will be able to wrap. I think we ran out of steam before we had been completed last evening, and so we will be back before you. And so I would move that we recess to the call of the chair. And Senator Ivana?
Madam Chair, with regard to the outstanding issues, I know there are people from our schools who are here to express their concern about, in particular, the language issue. Is it your intent to bring that up before the committee at a different time, or would there be a time that they could offer some thoughts about that?
Well, we have a few minutes right now. I would withdraw that motion or directive if there's somebody in particular that would like to express
Thank
that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I would be happy to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know Ms. Switchikowski is here from the Minnetonka schools, and I think most of us around the table know we've been really wrestling with what to do, particularly about our immersion teachers who have traveled from other countries to be teaching in our schools and now find themselves in a situation where they may not be able to continue. And so Ms. Switchikowski is here to speak on that, if that would be okay.
Well, and since four of the members here are affected by as representatives of that district, I think that it is entirely appropriate that we hear what you have to say. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You say your name for the record.
Janet Switchikowski, Minnetonka School District. I'm here to talk about, on page 49 of the bill, the section regarding language immersion. It's Section 2. Or Article 2, Section 22 on page 49 of the bill. In Minnetonka School District, we have 2,000 students, kindergarten through fifth grade, currently enrolled in language immersion programs. Those students benefit greatly from native speakers that can teach them the fine tuning and the pronunciation of Chinese and Spanish. A number of those, because they are native speakers in the program, they bring a rich benefit to the program in developing our students' language skills much better. We also have over 2,000 parents that advocate regularly to have a mix of both English-speaking second language teachers and native-speaking teachers in that program so their students can really develop native-speaking proficiency. It's also a critical language issue at the federal level, and we've been getting federal grant funding for Chinese immersion because it is a critical FLAP grant area as well. And we've had great cooperation from Senator Klobuchar in bringing through some of that funding as well. If the language that is currently in the basic skills testing for licensure continues to go forward, we will have at least 20 teachers next year that are teaching right now in our district that are outstanding teachers on a one-year provisional license that will not be able to teach in our classrooms next year because they haven't yet necessarily passed the writing English portion of the basic skills test. Now, we know that the writing English portion of the basic skills test is a challenging portion of the test for a non-native English speaker. It's not basic skills because we expect our teachers throughout our curriculum that are teaching in English to teach students how to write across the curriculum. So we have high expectations for teachers to teach English writing and reading across our curriculum in all subjects. However, in a language immersion program, our teachers are teaching in Chinese. They are never teaching in English. The results of our language immersion program, Dr. Peterson has already shared with you, are our Chinese students at fifth grade are outperforming our English students on the MCA reading test. They're doing extremely well in English reading. They're also doing extremely well in Chinese. So we want to continue to have that benefit of native speakers, and I encourage you to resolve the disagreements and find a critical compromise so that immersion programs throughout the state, Minnetonka is only one example. You've got also got St. Cloud and a number of other communities that have Eden Prairie that have similar programs. So I encourage you to find a compromise that will at least provide an extended period of time for teachers that have immigrated to the United States under appropriate visas and are employed here to teach Chinese to our students so that they can have extended time to bring their own English skills up so that they can pass that English proficiency test at a later period.
Thank you. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the testifier, have you checked into if we can't resolve this? And believe me, we're trying to resolve this in a very positive way. But if we cannot, have you looked into community expert or variance? And would you comment on that, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Representative Erickson, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Community expert licensure is only available to teachers if they have not yet gotten a teaching license or provisional license under the regular processes. And anytime we have a teacher that's coming in, we look to the Department of Education for the appropriate recommendation on the licensure that teacher should be using. And the Department of Education has repeatedly said to us, community experts should be used as a last resort. We want all of our teachers to move into full licensure as much as we can. So community experts should be used as a last resort. So when some of these teachers have come in, and we've been building our program over 5 years, many of our teachers have eventually passed the test. But as these teachers are coming in, when we look to the department's recommendation, the department has advised us that if they have a teaching background, and they can qualify for the provisional one-year license, that is the license that we should do. So the 20 teachers we have currently have had a provisional one-year license and therefore would not be eligible for community expert at this time.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, first of all, I would underscore the parent response to this issue. I've never gotten more emails since I've been a senator than from the parents who are so concerned about this because they are so grateful for the opportunity this is giving their children, and they're so proud of what their children are accomplishing. But with regard to the other teachers, there's some concern. If you've heard the discussion, people have been concerned about a fairness issue for all teachers. Do you see any problem with the rest of your teachers passing this test, and do you have any thoughts about that?
We do have one or two teachers that are struggling to pass this test, but we laud the goals of this the licensure standard. We do believe that all teachers should be teaching reading and writing across the curriculum. It raises the achievement for all. So whether you're teaching in math or whether you're teaching in another subject, we're working with our staff to teach reading and writing across the curriculum. We are certainly providing extra staff development support if other teachers are not able to. But this is a unique situation in the fact that these teachers are not hired to teach English, yet we're holding them to a standard that we're expecting them to teach English. They are hired specifically to teach in Spanish or Chinese. So we accept that it is an unexpected change for many teachers around the state. I think when the immediate timeline went in, many teachers were caught off guard by surprise. And however, it doesn't excuse the fact that it is a new standard. They need to rise to that standard. But we want to acknowledge the fact that for teachers that are coming in with being hired specifically not to teach in English, they're being hired to teach in immersion, it is a different situation than the teachers that are teaching in English to our students every day.
I can't see your last name.
Switchakowski.
Switchakowski.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've had others mention the writing. That's the one I hear most commonly. Mm-hmm. But there's reading, writing, and math. And are you saying that these teachers have been able to pass the reading and the math portion, but it's the writing one that they have the difficulty with?
It may also, depending on the skill level of the teacher, be the reading. We haven't had as much of a problem with the math for our immersion, but it is certainly the reading and the writing. The writing looks at, English is a complex subject with complex grammar rules, complex everything. It's a complex language, and we're well known for that around the country, and it is around the world. So we are asking Chinese or Spanish speakers to learn the intricacies of grammar, the intricacies of idioms, the intricacies of the complexity of the English language in a very short amount of time. If they're coming into the United States and working and speaking all day in their native language, their employment is not is to work in English, but working and speaking in their native language. That is the difficulty of bringing them up to the grammar and the reading and writing component.
Okay. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Wichikowski, for your testimony as a representative that has a Spanish immersion school in my district. I think this is incredibly important for us to deal with. Again, our Spanish immersion school, which was started a few years ago, has become the most popular option for elementary school parents and children in our district, and demand has completely outstripped predictions from when it was started. And as you mentioned also, the MCA scores of the students in those programs do as well, if not better, than some of our other students. So it's not an issue of children not being taught exceptionally well or excelling, but this is a unique situation, and we have a unique need, and they have difficulty finding teachers that can fulfill these positions to achieve native level fluency for these children, which is the goal. And I'd also like to say, is with more choices and that for parents and for children for their educational options, it's also served to keep some of our families and kids in public schools. which I think is a good thing. And without those options, they'll probably go to private institutions. So not that I'm knocking choice, because it's something I absolutely applaud, but again, I think that's something to keep in mind, and I certainly hope that we can all come to some resolution on this matter. I think it's incredibly important, and I've gotten all those many emails many times over pleading for us to try to resolve this. And I would say, I do think, you know, as setting the bar for all teachers to pass us, I wouldn't favor, letting everyone off the hook. And I do think they will have to eventually pass it. But implementing the requirement and sort of the unintended consequence of doing this sort of mid-year with people currently under a teaching contract, I think is a unique situation as well.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, would like to really encourage you to find a solution, a compromise to this. I think it's a kind it creates a lot of winners and losers if we start exempting certain people and not others. Because I think there are other examples around the state that have just as much merit as somebody who does not speak the English language. And let me just give an example of an example Representative Ward gave me, and it's an art teacher in his district. The art teacher in his district, I feel like we are changing the rules of the game on this person, because when they have now become a victim of their training to become an art teacher, I realize that we have changed in our philosophy in school that the art teacher, the music teacher, everybody should be integrating reading, writing, and speaking into their curriculums. But that is a recent development. That was not the way that they were trained to be a teacher. And so I would strongly encourage us to consider then the other people that are going to be then left as what I would consider victims of this. So it's a game changer for a lot of people.
It's amazing.
Thank you,
this bill has been around for 2 years. Was vetoed with it. If it was in the position where it was first introduced, we wouldn't be having any of this problem. But it got kind of meddled with and vetoed and back and now signed. And after it's been signed, all of a sudden everybody says, hey, wait a minute. So it's it is kind of an unusual conundrum. But Senator Hahn, and then I want the department is here and I think would like to have make a bit of response. And if they'd come to the table, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll be brief. And I want to just ask Ms. Wichikowski, and I appreciate your testimony. I also received a number of emails from constituents in my district that support this measure, and I do support it. However, I'm just curious, have you had any feedback from parents concerned about the ability of the immersion teachers in their ability to communicate with parents who may not be studying the language but may have to communicate in English? And has this been raised as a concern or an issue by people in the district?
Ms. Kostowski.
Thank you, Senator Hahn, Madam Chair. It has not been raised as an issue in Minnetonka School District because we have planned for that and support that. All of the teachers we are hiring in speak English. They can speak conversational English. They can have a conversation with their colleagues in the faculty room. They can have a conversation with parents. It may not always be 100% grammatically correct. We have provided, in our district, we provide proofreading service for all of our immersion teachers when they're sending communication home to parents, that we will proofread it for them and get it back out so that it does go out grammatically correct, because our school district certainly wants that high standard of communication going out.
Okay, thank you. I'd like the department, I should say, I think that the Senate is willing to accept the House provision that's in this bill. But it's the department that is resisting at this point, and so I think they should have a right to express themselves here, and we'll see where it goes from here. Welcome, Commissioner.
Senator Olson, thank you, and members. I want to thank the testifier here. I have great admiration for what Minnetonka is trying to do with immersion schools, and I think it's headed in the exact direction for global learning and a global classroom. We all want great teachers for our kids, and in an effort to assure that we all have great teachers, we've been continually raising the bar for our teachers, as Representative Dietrich has said in her comments. But that, of course, means that there are several teachers then now, as they've prepared and been given the chance to pass these tests and haven't passed these tests, that means then that they maybe didn't pass the cut score for this test and are still in the process of trying to pass this test because they want to be teachers with our kids. Like Minnetonka testified, we no longer have a basic skills test. This is a much more rigorous exam. I realize the difficulty of the immersion teachers, but this is a difficulty for our teachers and other teachers, elementary teachers who don't teach the higher level math courses. And so I would propose that there is a good look at, and the board looks at, this MTLE tool for the purpose, and I said this in my testimony yesterday, that we are getting the right teachers with the right content, knowledge, and pedagogical skills to teach in our classrooms for the right purposes. And I think that the Board of Teaching needs to be directed to examine this. A one-year implementation delay would give the Board of Teaching time to do this and bring stakeholders to the table so that all teachers, it's not lessening the standards, it's not lessening the accountability for teachers, but it's giving us some time to review this process. I knew in advance that we would have these come up, and that's why I asked for an appeal process before the bill got passed, but that was not acceptable at the time. I do believe that we have to address this issue, but I do also believe that we have over 400 teachers who could lose their license, who are beloved by their children and by their families. And we've heard from superintendents across all of Minnesota, rural Minnesota, here with our ESL teachers in our urban core, as well as our immersion teachers and our art teachers and others. So I would ask the committee to reconsider and look at a year delay in this.
Thank you, Commissioner. You know, it's I think part of the concern is I think for those of us that maybe are around, have been around here quite a while and get a little cynical from time to time, that that one-year extension, then next year comes along and they're going to extend it another year. You know, we've had, this isn't a new law, but it's had this kind of a three-year opportunity. And the original intent was to have this test passed before people began their teacher preparation, so they don't go down that path without having the basic skills to start with. It would be kind of, we wouldn't be having these issues if we had stuck with that approach, but that's not where we're at right now. And I think there is some concern that you know, a one-year extension, where does that go? Is it kind of takes I think that the seeming commitment of this legislation out of the way, and yet you know, I think it is obviously a challenging dilemma at this point. So, is there any questions that Representative Erickson?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and you know, Commissioner, I know you believe in high standards, so I'm disappointed when you note that a basic skills test is no longer basic, because it is basic in that we teachers should be at or above the level of skill and understanding of our students at whatever level we teach, because that is our hallmark, is to be well prepared when we enter the classroom and to remain that way. But I think you're aware that with every test taking that's going on, the Board of Teaching is tracking the number of those who are passing, and the percentage continues to rise. Furthermore, I think the Board of Teaching has allowed for more windows, or are working toward that, for the test taking. So the immersion is a different issue from addressing, you know, opening the window for everyone. I maintain that, you know, that we want high expectations, and you do as well. I know you've said that. you know, as Senator Olson said, if we open this door just a little bit, it's going to get opened wider and wider and wider, and suddenly we won't have had the reform, or we won't have accomplished the reform that we put in place. So, Madam Chair, that's my statement.
Any response, Ms. Grzegowski?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to thank the Commissioner for acknowledging that this does apply for immersion teachers and that she understands the need for immersion teachers. And I understand while we would like, many of us would like to be able to help many more people, if we, what I have just heard is agreement that immersion teachers need this exception for next year, I would consider encourage this committee to move forward on that provision.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Just a final comment, and I thank you very much for giving us this time. And I think that really, Ms. Wojciechowski, when you talked about the tool that this plays in the global competitive marketplace, I would just underscore that. And I would hate us to, because of our inability to reach consensus, to actually do damage to something that is the, you know, secret weapon. If there's any one thing, it would be to make sure all of our children are bilingual going forward. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. If there are no other questions or comments, I think this has been helpful. And I will we will recess to the call of the chair, and we'll keep you informed. So.
40 minutes dealing with discussion. 40 minutes. Right.